This is the meeting of the Pines and Plains Board, and it's February 28th at 6:05. Okay, we have Alan present, Ruth Ann Stricker's present, and Robert Thomason is present, so we have a quorum. Okay, now we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Do, I think we need a motion to accept the agenda?
I would make a motion to accept the agenda as published.
I'll second.
Okay.
You're here, Robert.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Ruth Ann, you're doing a good job.
Thank you, Robert. Okay.
We need to call a motion.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Excellent.
Okay, so now we're going to do the consent agenda, which is, it's the acceptance of the meetings from January 24th, which they are floating around here sometimes.
Yep.
Okay.
Because this is a consent deal.
Right, we're going to wait till the end.
Yes, yes.
Yes. I'm learning. Okay, correspondence is none. January bank reconciliation.
It was done last week. I did it with Susan. I do have a report on our funds. Okay, on our BMO money market account, we had a starting balance of $722,657.28. We had deposits and credits. This is actually our interest for that amount, which was $1,286.49 for an ending balance of $723,943.77. For our money market account with Colorado, Bank of Colorado, I should say, we have had a starting balance of $712,320.04. We had interest for the month of $1,663.71 for a current ending balance of $713,983.75. Our checking account with Colorado Bank, we had a starting balance of $520,519.99. We had checks and payments totaling for the month, which was 42 items, of $56,278.25. We had deposits and credits of $17,368.31, which was 8 items, for an ending balance of $481,610.05. Our payroll account had a starting balance of $292,194.60. We had a payroll of $51,262.82, which was 10 items, for an ending balance of $240,931.78. So we have a gross total of money of $2,160,469 $1,000.35. So we were doing pretty good. I went over with Susan on several things, which we'll go over later. But overall, we're in pretty good shape. Any questions?
Thank you, Alan. Now, the January budget to actual, is that you, Susan?
Susan, I think she's muted.
Uh-oh. Did we
lose her? She's still
trying there.
Shouldn't we be able to hear on the phone?
Are you there, Robert?
Robert?
Are you there?
Are you there, Susan?
We don't hear you on Zoom, Susan. I'm sorry. Or GoToMeeting.
I'm going to call Robert up here. Hopefully my phone will last.
Well, I was going to say mine is fully charged.
The call just dropped. I don't know if you can hear me, Susan, but the call has dropped now.
I think she's talking to Robert again.
I think she is talking to Robert.
We have 5G here. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I've had 5G. I just noticed on mine.
Yeah, wow.
It's weird how it pops up every once in a while, which is amazing.
Call has been forwarded to voicemail.
Let me actually see if I can just have you listen in on my computer, too. I don't know if you'll be able to hear, but we'll try.
Well, can I just call Robert on my phone?
Because I can't seem to do a conference call.
Susan?
Are you there, Robert?
Susan?
Yeah. I can't. I've lost Robert.
Wait. What? You call Robert on my phone and you just stay by yourself.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. We'll try him again.
He probably still thinks he's on.
Well, I can call us.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, I can hear everybody talking about me. Everybody's just having the best old time trying to find Robert.
Okay, we're
on this chair in hours.
Well, we're going to leave you on my phone, and we're going to leave Susan on GoToMeeting, and that way, hopefully, everybody will stay alive.
Okay, I've got all my documents. I'm ready to do this bad boy.
Okay, cool. Now, we went back to January budget to actual. Is that you, Susan?
Yes. If you look in your packet at the report that says Pines and Plains Library's profit and loss budget versus actual, January 2024, and look at the third page. So what we're looking at here is the total expense of what we spent in January was $88,259.34. $88,259.34. And our budget is like $1.73 million. So we spent 5.1% of our budget. And if you calculate how much January is of the year, we've spent 8.33% of the year. So we're under budget by about 3%.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sounds very good.
Okay, and Robert, I just wanted to let you know, because I don't think you went, Morrell is here? Morrell, yes, Morrell. I'll get it straight. No. And Sandy is here.
Okay. Greetings to you guys. I'm sorry about all of these glitches.
It happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do we have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I motion that we accept the consent agenda as printed.
I would second that. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Okay. We go on to committee reports. Community needs assessment. That's not until March 27th, right?
Right.
Is there anything new about that?
Nothing much. I've just been in contact with Anders, and he's working on the report right now. So I hope to get that out to you soon. And we'll just plan to do that during our regular meeting on March 27th. Anders will be here, and we'll do he'll go through his report for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
May I ask you a question?
Sure. Yeah.
You had said you were having some.
Go ahead, Robert.
I think Susan might.
Okay. The question is, you had expressed some frustration getting some answers from Anders. Was he more able to address your concerns in the last couple of calls?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, he's just been working on the report, and he's kind of been stalled a little bit with our statistics, but he's figured his way through it, so we should be getting. He actually sent me a big report today that is going to be part of the final report, but I didn't want to. I just thought I'd share the full report once we get that.
Is there any way you can elaborate on what part of the statistical information was problematic?
So he's all along. He's been trying to find the right cohort to compare our libraries to. So he looked at the data nationally. He looked at the data more regionally, like within like a 50-mile radius, within like a 250-mile radius. And that seemed to fit us the best. But more recently, he was able to take the national data and can you guys hear me? Because it's kind of weird. Okay. More recently, he was able to take the national data and find libraries that were more like us with multiple branches. So I think we're in good shape with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. So, and then we also want to discuss, Robert, this is yours, the location for sale in Elbert?
Yes. The Deb Sherman, who owns the church there that is so picturesque as you go into the town of Elbert on the east side of the road, had some changes in their lives, and they're going to be moving down to Texas, and they want to sell their the rectory, the chapel, the house that's on it, the whole smash. And in terms of its location, if you know much about Elwood at all, that is probably the best shot you would have having a workable building large enough, positioned correctly, et cetera, and not any kind of a traffic hazard, et cetera, and also set up really well for internet connection on the John Malone had put in cable internet in that area would be something you could access or have access to. That is, you know, it just doesn't get any better in Elbert. The problem is, and I have told her this, is that we move with all, you know, the speed and deftness of a glacier. And they, of course, are trying to sell this thing. But they keep calling me and saying, God, we just don't want to sell it and have somebody turn it into a bed and breakfast or something like that. And I just don't know exactly what to say. I would love for a couple of us to go over and look at it so that we can honestly say to ourselves and to them that, you know, thank you for reaching out. This, you know, had a lot of potential, et cetera, even if we couldn't use it. But I think it's a wonderful opportunity.
What kind of price do we know?
Well, I'm thinking 800 something.
1,000?
800,000?
800 some odd thousand.
Okay. Is this the church? There's when you come into Elbert on the Elbert Road, there's a dirt road that turns off to the east, and then you go about less than a quarter of a mile, and there it is on the north side of the road.
Picturesque postcard kind of building.
I know exactly where it's at. I've driven by it many times.
Yeah, and of course it has historical significance. It was washed away in the flood. They managed to save it and get it up on the hill. It was actually down in the floodplain. Like I say, you know, in terms of availability of buildings in that area, it's either we would have to somehow get involved with that little shopette kind of thing there across from the South 40 Bar, or build. And I don't see that as a possibility.
Would it be possible to say what the chapel, turn that into a library, and then the house, rent that out and get a little bit of income to help defray the cost of operating that library?
I don't know if that's possible under, you know, how our business, but it makes sense to me. I don't think you'd have any trouble getting somebody in there because, again, it is just a picture postcard.
Well, Robert, how about you make an appointment and maybe a few of us can get over there and look at it?
I would love that. And I know they would appreciate it because, again, they're just afraid it's going to be turned into something else. And they have devoted a number of years. They used to be our neighbors up here in our development. And when it came open, they just couldn't help themselves. They had to go buy it. And they have just kept it in pristine condition. And, you know, it's larger than the church, of course.
Can you try for a viewing, say, sometime on Saturday? I could come down and take a look, meet you, or meet Ruth Ann and I
assume, I can do Saturday.
You know, both of us could, Ruth Ann and I could go take a look at it Saturday.
I will call her as soon as I get off of this. I know that if they are around, they would jump at the chance.
Okay. You let us know. Tomorrow I'm working, and Friday I am working counting ballots. So, but Ruth Ann and I both have Saturdays available. Okay. Or this Saturday, let's put it this way, at this point in time.
All right. I'll as we're sitting here, I'm writing an email to her and see what we can find out. I might even find out before the end of the meeting here.
You and I, we can meet together and either write down together or.
Yeah.
Because I know we write exactly where the place is at.
I know where it is, too.
So.
Hey, you two could just, you know, drive out to Elbert and talk about dogs.
Yeah. probably bore each other to death. Cool.
Yeah.
So, okay. That sounds like a plan. Okay, we're going to talk about board member recruitment. So.
Hey, I love this. I do. I really do. And you guys are doing a great job. And it sounds like we may be close to having some wonderful candidates.
Yes. Is that true? We have some wonderful candidates here.
Okay. There we go.
And I would like to know, because we're kind of, how can I say, they're the commissioners, the county commissioners are nagging us to get new board members. So we're going to rush you a little bit. So we invited you here. And if you have no objection, we would like to vote on appointing you to the board tonight.
That's fine.
Is that good?
Sure.
However you feel, you can either step out while we do it, or you can sit here and...
What do you want us to do? I don't care.
It's up to you.
This is really open group.
Yes, we're very flexible here.
I would. Do we need to make this as a motion to do an individual voting, or
we have a couple of things. Yep. First we have to. And I have notes. And I think that each one should be a separate motion and vote.
Okay.
They should be, and we should. Read some information into the record about you know how they've come to want to be here.
Okay.
You didn't tell me that before. I would have prepped.
You know, I was trying to get in touch with you.
We have their application forms, so we've got their background information. So
yes, we have all their information. Can we just add their application to the notes?
Absolutely. That would suffice.
Okay.
You guys, I know how much I appreciate the fact that you've done the interviewing.
We had a great time. They're both lovely people.
Okay, and you know I trust that implicitly, and I am so happy that the two of you have considered being on our board.
Okay, so my first one that I want to do is I want to make a motion to reappoint Alan Krennic for a 3-year term.
I would accept.
You want a second? Robert's going to second?
Yeah, okay. I would love to second that.
Okay. And then all in favor?
Aye.
I vote for myself.
Well, Susan said we had to do this.
Yes.
Okay. So the next one is going to be, I saved all this stuff, man. So I get the names correct, and I'll screw it up again. My daughter hated when I did names because I always screwed them up. Okay, I would like to make a motion to appoint Alessandra Navetta. Did I do it right?
Yes.
To the Pines and Plains Library Board.
I would second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And then I would like to make a motion to appoint Morrell Hegermeyer. Did I do that correctly?
Hegermeyer.
Hegermeyer, see? Okay.
German.
to the Pines and Plains Library Board.
I would second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Our motions are passed, and we just have to present you to the county commissioners. And then so,
congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Can we have Sandy replace Sheila? And so Sandy's term will go through January of 2027. And then have Morale replace Karen, and her term will finish in January of 2025. And then we'll need to elect her again. So is that okay with you all?
That sounds
good. Okay with you, ladies?
That's totally fine.
Okay.
So this is good. All right, back to my agenda. I lost my papers again.
Next thing we need to do is a director's report.
Okay.
Susan, you're on.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Great. The libraries have been in the news recently, so we're really excited to get the news coverage. So Elbert County News featured Kim Miller about a month ago or something like that. And Sarah Coleman, who's there with you, has also been interviewed by the Elbert County News, and we don't know exactly yet when that's going to come out, but it should be coming out fairly soon.
It just came out.
Oh, did it just
come out? I heard from Nikki. Yes.
Okay.
Is it now available in the Elbert County News?
Oh, perfect.
We need to buy the paper. See what they wrote about us.
And then we were featured in the Ranchland News inadvertently. We attended the 150th celebration for the county, the sesquicentennial, and the only places for us to sit were on the front row. And so our photo is in the newspaper, in the Ranchland News. So that's exciting. And just want to give you some employee updates. We're nearly fully staffed at the moment. We still have one employee out on family leave, and she's going to need to extend that leave. And so we are going to hire a temporary position to fill that position from March through May. And so far we have one applicant for that position. I wanted to share with you some statistics. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, you will handle all of the applications and interviews and that kind of stuff there in the library or so.
Absolutely. It'll Sarah and I will do all the interviewing and all that. Just a quick summary of our statistics. I don't have a handout for you, but just looking back at last year, our circulation is up 13% from last year to this year, from 2022 to 2023. And we have 7% more cardholders from 2022 to 2023. So that is also very, very good news. Things are kind of coming back after COVID. Facilities, the buildings, we'll talk more about that when we get to the swale item on the agenda. That's really the only issue that I have. And then I just wanted to let you know that we've heard about Rick Morgan's funeral, and so that's going to be March 9th in Elbert. It's at 10 a.m. at the Mercantile, and then there's a graveside service after that, and then a lunch after the graveside service. So we're all very, very sad to hear about Rick's passing, and he was a huge part of the library community across the entire state, actually, with his Lawyers at the Library program. So we're really just really, really sad to have heard the news about him.
No, his legacy runs so deep. He has helped with so many veterans in the county with legal problems, et cetera. He, we just lost a good one there.
We did. We did. The woman who is now heading up the program with the legal help at the library, there's 90 libraries that participate because of Rick. And so it's just a huge program that he set up, and it's big shoes to fill as well. So it's we're just sending out our love to Claudia and their family. So that's very sad. I wanted to let you know, just kind of give you a quick.
Should we send something to the funeral? From the library board?
Yeah, the library is going to do it. But yeah, if the board wants to do it, you definitely can do that too.
I think we should send some kind of flowers or something. Okay. I saw there's a card that the different library people here are signing. And I met Rick a couple Saturdays ago, so but I think the board, we need to the funeral. I think the library district, we need to send something. I would like for us to send something. A funeral arrangement, I think, would be appropriate.
Do you want to take responsibility for that, Alan, and just let me know what my contribution would be?
Yeah, I'll
have to see where I can go, because we don't have a florist in Elbert County.
No, the gal that's up here on the hill as you're going up towards Kiowa, she did a gorgeous job for me a week and a half ago when my daughter-in-law's grandmother passed away.
So I will tomorrow afternoon, I will stop by there and talk to her and get something arranged to be delivered for the funeral, which is on
the 9th
of March.
The Mercantile Building.
Mercantile Building. So I'll see about that, getting that arranged tomorrow.
Okay.
That'd be great. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Alan. Just real quick to just the board. Alan and I went to the Board of County Commissioners meeting on February 14th, and I put my report in your packet, the report that I gave to them. I emailed you all the questions that they had asked me at that meeting. They asked basically the same questions that they asked last year. So they're very consistent. Do y'all have any questions? The report is not the report's not based on audited numbers. It's because we didn't have the audit done at that point.
This is the report that was submitted.
Yeah.
I don't see the questions.
Oh, I didn't. I emailed those to you, but I can tell you, they wanted to know what we're going to use our extra money that we've saved. They asked about I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you didn't tell them we were going to get hats, did you?
That we were going to get what?
What?
Get hats for the board members.
Hats.
Oh, hats. No. Yes. No. No hats. I told them that we're working with the consultant and that we'll have our final report from our consultant and then be able to kind of make some forward moves after that. They also asked about inappropriate books. If we have inappropriate books in the library, how do we deal with those? And I told them about how we select our items using our collection development policy. And they asked about the increase in salaries in 2024. How did we determine those? And I told them that I had pulled salary data from, I did actually nationally, but I, that doesn't, we don't really care about nationally, but I looked at salary data locally to look at where we are. We're just, we're losing good candidates because we can't keep up with them all salary wise.
Put you on the public.
Thank you.
And then they also asked us about, they noticed that we have another $800,000 in savings. And they asked whether we had thought about saving the taxpayers' money by reducing our mill levy. And I said that we had been discussing the mill levy all along through the whole summer and through the voting and all the ups and downs of the property tax. And then Chris asked about our two open positions on the library board and what are we going to do with those? And I said, that's coming soon. So luckily we've got it now. So, so those are the questions that the commissioners asked us.
Might I add a few things in here?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. To our new board members, this is a, you know, the sort of the annual thing that we have to do. We are in a unique position, in that we really do not have a lot of overreach from the county commissioners. They were not set up where they can do that. They do have, we have to answer to certain policies, et cetera, but we are, as long as we've got a plan, and can justify it, we don't suffer a lot of interference from our commissioners. And I don't say that because I anticipate that they would or they wouldn't. I know them all, pretty well. And, they're always concerned about money, as are we. And one of the things that you'll hear all the time is that, what can you guys do to help us help, the citizens of the county, et cetera. And the bottom line is it's our job as board members to exercise fiduciary restraint and guidance, and so that you don't really have to be too concerned when the commissioners raise these questions every year, but there are, as you will find in the coming weeks as we get a chance to sit down in more meetings, etc., understand that there's, with the development in the county, everybody wants more libraries. But our job in the main building was to pay the building off and build it out so that it is a model piece for our library system and all of the members in the county. And I think we're doing that. But it is a frightening prospect to some commissioners that we have money put away and we've paid our bills. And that is something we can take great pride in. But you will find in the next few months that's a regular conversation that we have to have, is, because they'll be saying, we've got all your population up in the northwest corners really, really big, and we don't have any libraries and what have you. It's an ongoing problem. So at any rate, stay tuned. It will get more interesting as we are more fiscally responsible. that's a bright new concept sometimes in our county.
Okay.
So
thank you, Robert.
Yeah. Just a couple more things in my board report for you all. The programs that we've done recently, they did a really popular craft event at Simla, had really great feedback on that one. At Kiowa, they've started a new knitting and crochet group. So we're excited that they're going to bring in the retirees in Kiowa into that program. And then we had a really great author talk last Saturday. An author called J.V.L. Bell spoke with 39 people about women of the Colorado Gold Rush era. And so it was just really, really well received. And the Friends provided refreshments for that. So it was a really, great event. So we were really excited. That's also done in conjunction to advertise the county's 150th celebration. So it's part of the our programming related to the sesquicentennial, to the 150th anniversary of Elbert County. What's coming up next month, I'm going to be working on finishing the audit, and I have information from the auditor for you about that in a later agenda item. And then we're also working to transition our current email system and electronic file system over to Microsoft 365 Business Premium. So we're working on that. And then even a little bit more of a heads up, I'll be taking off a few days in May to celebrate another nephew's college graduation. And I'll be gone about May 10th through the 13th. And I'll be back at work this upcoming Monday, back from Kansas. Actually, we're driving back to Colorado tomorrow, so we'll be back soon. So that's everything I have on my board report.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next agenda item is the swale.
Okay, everybody
has
a copy of the map in front of them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that for everybody that hasn't studied this, if you look at the map, you hold it like this so that this part is up. Okay, what we're talking about is this section right here. And what the problem is, this development is happening right adjacent to us, and all of the water runoff from this deal, and we have been told by the city that it also includes water that's coming down from this street up above here, is going to come down our ravine and potentially could go in the grate, which is right here, which is the inlet, into this retention pond in this corner that sits on the property out here at the northwest corner of the property. What's the problem is, we walked this a couple of weeks ago, and there is a natural ravine here, and unfortunately that ravine is several feet lower than what it's going to take to get water to go in that grate. So what they're proposing is, the city would like for us to have a swale that's going to direct the water from this area up here down to this grate to go into this retention pond before it is dumped out at the outlet here to go across the property down to Gold Creek, which sits downhill way over here about a quarter of a mile across there before it gets to Gold Creek. And so my problem is, the drawing that they have this time around, I'm in favor of the drawing. The problem is, the sheet that was sent to us from the city, nothing was said about anybody about who is going to make this swale happen here. I mean, the indication their drawing is showing this rock swale right here, which is non-existent right now. So is the intention that they're going to do that, and then they're going to think that we're responsible for creating the balance? My thought process is I don't think we should be responsible.
Swale, is that like a hill?
Well, what it is, if you look at this drawing up here, mm-hmm. what that means, that's a cross-section, and it mirrors the other two cross-sections which are down below it, which are farther up the hill. This, what this means, they want a ditch cut that is so deep and so wide that's going to cause a flume for water to drain down to that grate. The problem is it's going to take some fill to fill up an edge here to fill up the defile that's on that north side of the property to be able to create this swale or this flume, so to speak, down to that grate. And otherwise, it just shoots down this ravine and with no restriction. And the storage place that's to the north of us in this corner right here, that's right over here, if that ravine gets overloaded with water, I hate to say it, but it can go right through that.
My storage unit's there, yeah. So you better not be flooding.
Yes, yes. So if I was them, I would be alarmed at what's going on here. I think we need to have a meeting with the city planners to find out who the responsibility is here to get this swale, this dirt work accomplished.
Is this within the easement?
Yes, it's already there. It's on our property.
You told me the easement was there, but yes. Are they keeping what they are proposing here? Is it all within the easement?
Yes, that's the beauty part of this deal. It's within that 40-foot easement on that north side. So
who owns the easement?
We do. Okay. It's on our property. So we, because of the way things are arranged, we're responsibility. I mean, it's on our easement. So,
but the fact is you're not responsible if they're putting some. You're the attorney. You tell it.
Well, they can flood your property too. It's
yes.
Got to be built up.
Yes.
And you derive no benefit from it. So it seems to me that they should be responsible. The city or whoever's building this development should be responsible for adjusting the earth so that it flows down and doesn't destroy your property and the guy next door.
Right, because long term, if we build out this building and get a bigger use, I mean, our intention is we envision that area on the north side there as potential parking for when we have events here that involve 100, 150 people, we're going to need X amount of parking besides what's here. And then it's come to my attention, which they haven't even addressed, they're already building up the soil to the east of us, and they're proposing buildings to be built, looks to me like within about 10 or 12 feet of their property line, right at the top of that hill. And
what's the zoning? Are they allowed to do 12 feet?
Well, that's what we need to talk to the city about. And we need to find out the drainage that's going to come off the top of that building. How are they going to get all that water to flow north to get to that drainage?
Can we get an appointment with the city planners to have them come here and talk to us about?
That's what we need to do again. We need to have another meeting with the city planner to have him explain how he thinks that this is going to happen and to assure us where the water drainage off these buildings and stuff is going to go.
Like I said, I've already seen some of those bricks starting to.
It's already moving our retaining wall because the dirt area up above there, it's moving. It's trying to move west.
And if you look at it, there's like little seep holes behind the wall.
That's what you'd said the day that I was here with y'all.
Yeah.
So we need to, I'm thinking we need to have a meeting set up next week sometime with the city planner. Is what I'm thinking for him to explain this drawing and who he thinks needs to be responsible for what.
Well, the fact is, and you're the attorney, retired attorney, that's a 40-some foot easement.
Yes.
That gives them the right to use it, but they can't force us to build anything there.
Exactly.
I was in land development for years.
And I'm not. Believe me.
And so bottom line is, all you're saying to them is that this 40 foot, I will never build anything on top of it.
Obstruct
it so that if they need something to go through there, anybody up above needs to use that easement. If they're entitled to use it, they can use it, but they can't force us to pay for anything. You're only giving them the right to use that land.
It shouldn't be that costly for them. They've moved all kinds of dirt there.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
So we shouldn't have to pay a dime, and we shouldn't have to maintain it.
Well, and might I interject?
Yes. Sure.
It's a little more complicated even than that, but I agree with everything that you've said. It's perfect, and it's great to have a legal mind on the team.
Pressure's on.
The retaining pond itself is somewhat of a failure. It is something that has been a source of consternation for us because we ended up having to fence it in because it's an attractive nuisance. And we were afraid somebody was going to get, kids, get in it when it was full and maybe not be able to get out of it and drown. So we've already spent money over there. It would really be insult to injury if we had to do much more, considering that they didn't admit to having any responsibility about that being they require you to put it in. They say that it is, will be, you help facilitate all of the development of what you see here on the map. But then, you build it to what their specifications are, and then you see that it really is not very, very functional. So I would hope that we don't have to spend any money on this. And I concur with your feeling about, look, it's an easement. If you guys can use it, that's great. But we've taken care of our portion on that.
So can I jump in here real quick? So
sure.
Sarah and I met with Scott Pease and Zach Higgins. Scott Pease is the engineer for the town of Elizabeth, and Zach Higgins is the community development director. So we, just to find out what was going on with this whole thing, Sarah and I met with those gentlemen. And basically, what we're agreeing to is that this Elizabeth Street Plaza Lot 2, which is the development above us, would be paying for the swale. So, and they said to us that this commercial piece has the right to discharge across our property in a quote natural manner, and that's apparently part of Colorado law. So, but they would pay for it. We would not be paying for it.
Will they maintain it also, Susan?
That was not clear.
What about the retaining wall and the grade to the east across of our parking lot that seems to be encroaching on our property, the drainage off of their building and stuff? Was anything said about how the water was going to get from those buildings up to that north end?
No, they didn't say anything about that. Some of the maps that I've looked at show that that retaining wall does not belong to us. It belongs to the property to the east of us. But I can't tell you for sure. It you know, that big, huge drawing, Alan and Robert, the one that you were looking at that day that we when you went out in the field, that shows that that retaining wall actually belongs to that other lot. It does not belong to us.
Well, we need a, looking at that, looking at where the pin is at that northeast corner. When I eyeball down it, it looks like that retaining wall is right on our property line. So I don't know that that drawing on the blueprint is correct with what the facts are. So we may have to pay for a survey to determine what our east property line is to define where they're at, because otherwise we could end up with half their property, their buildings on our parking lot.
Okay.
Ellen, aren't they going to have eaves troughs or gutters on the buildings that would direct the water to this?
Theoretically. Area? Theoretically, but I, most buildings I know for a fact on a roof system, I mean, this building looks like it's going to be several hundred feet long. That's a long ways to run water in a gutter to try to get it to a place. I know from past experience on buildings, commercial buildings and stuff, best laid plans there.
The water just drips and
it's I'm that's a long ways to run water across the roof to get it to exit. If they only have downspouts on that north side and or on their east side of that building and nothing on the back.
Well, I think at this point in time, until we see what they're really doing.
Yes.
You know, there's not much we can say about.
We need to talk to the city planner again and have him explain how that's going to be fixed. And then it sounds to me like with this drawing, the way it is, they're within the drainage easement, which is what before they were not. I mean, they were taking up half our property on the north side. They fixed that problem. So we just need to see, make sure that they move the dirt to get that swale in the right place, mm-hmm. and make it functional. And that will give us the ability to use that north side as a parking lot, which we envision. Around with the west side also, and
well, and I think there was also mentioned if depending on how deep that swale is, are we going to need fencing?
Well,
because children come here,
the swale won't be very deep. The problem is there is a pathway that we had across there, and a lot of people use that walking from across from the library, from Big R, from houses that are farther south, getting to Safeway.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm thinking that we may need to work out some kind of a little bridge or walkway with a major culvert underneath it, so you can walk across where that swale is and not have to go down in a ditch to get up to get to Safeway, just as a convenience to people that are walking across our property.
So that, the pathway is landscaped, and it's already been damaged by the drainage from the property above us.
So, yes.
Okay. One other item on this.
Yes.
The thing that frightens me most about this particular situation is that I'm not at all convinced that the compaction or nor the construction of that retaining wall is sufficient to hold what they're planning on building on top of that. And I'd like to, I think we should make a point of asking the engineers when they come over, what kind of assurances do we have that, you know, we're not going to have, because we've also got water involved, it's heading down towards that wall. We don't want to go out there one morning and have that wall knocked over and, you know, all of the problems that would come with that.
Yeah, because I suspect that retaining wall was created when this building was built, because it's landscaped and it belongs to the library. And I suspect we're going to have to really address it with the builder that's building the property north, because they're going to, that wall's going to come down when they put it.
I agree. We need to see what's going on with that grade there.
Yeah. Okay.
So it sounds to me like we need to get a meeting scheduled next week with the Planning Commission to explain their intentions and how problems are going to be fixed up on that development, because from what I can see, all of their development plans with the city seem to be happening after the fact.
Welcome to Elizabeth. Do you want to do this as a study session of the board and include everybody, or is this just something that that we only want a few people to attend?
I think we need at least a couple of board members that need to go to this meeting so that we, and I would like one of our new board members, or either one of them, both of them, because they're both, we're attorneys, we need to make sure that we're not having the rug pulled out from underneath us and see what we have. Yes.
I agree with you, and the sooner that we can get our new members up to speed with this, it'd be great, because I'm sure they're a little looking at this map going, wow, are we in on this map anywhere? But the situation is, too, we have to never forget that we can't have three board members, because then we've got a quorum, mm-hmm. and that it has to be recorded.
State law. So it sounds to me like it's a two-person meeting.
Yes.
So two persons from the board.
Or a special session.
Or we can publicly notice it and make it into a study session or something like that. But we just have to have adequate time to publicly notice that meeting.
How much is adequate?
How much time is adequate?
It's just usually like to post it. I mean, you'll have to vote on it tonight to say, yes, you want to have a study session. And I mean, if you choose a date and the community development director can't attend, we're kind of toasted. So maybe choose a couple days.
Susan, is your notice 72 hours or is it less than that?
It's usually about 72 hours.
Okay.
So can we try for, see if the city planner can make a meeting, say, what do you say, the week of March 4th, that's not next week, that gets us past the election, and or we could do it, that's next week.
Yeah, that's next week.
The first is not Friday.
So, say 7th or 8th of, I mean, that's Thursday or Friday of next week. How is that for people to attend for a study session?
I'm fine. It's Thursday afternoon or any all day Friday, I should be fine.
Okay. So, I guess the key is contacting the city tomorrow, and see if they're available towards the end of next week.
Yep.
And I won't know about my mobility concerns until after I go to the post-op meeting tomorrow.
Well, you wanna wait, and I'll wait until I'll get in contact with the city on Friday after we see if you're going to be mobile. I can tell you from personal experience with my own knee, you won't be no speed demon, but you'll be able to at least be moving around.
But Alan, yeah. Alan, I think what Susan says is we have to make a decision and make a motion to have this session on the calendar tonight.
Okay.
And we can't guarantee that Elizabeth planning people are going to cooperate with us.
Then if they don't cooperate, I mean, we're basically going to be talking it ourselves.
Correct.
Can we not make a motion to have a study session based on confirmation from the Elizabeth Planning Department that they will attend?
To be determined.
Yeah, I think you could make a motion saying that, but it has to be in the motion.
Yeah.
Is everybody, does that sound like a reasonable plan for a motion?
Give me some information.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds reasonable.
Oh, man, do I love this new staff we've got.
Well, in that case, I'm going to make a motion that we plan for a study session towards the end of next week. I'm not going to put a date on it. And this is pending approval of attendance from the City of Elizabeth Planning Commission. And this would be attended by our board members and somebody, a representative from the city, to explain the development's intentions, and it's possible maybe that we can get somebody from this development group here also.
That would be nice. So are you done? You want me to second it?
That's my motion.
Okay, I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I didn't know if we could anything until the commissioners.
I've got an eye in there.
Almost. Wait till we get the
course, we got to get the commissioner thing, right?
Yeah,
but technically, right. We're
yeah.
It sounds like it's unanimous.
Yes.
So I am not going to contact the city until after I hear from you, Robert, tomorrow.
Okay.
If you let me know, I should be home from counting ballots after 3. Let me know.
Okay, and I will try and get some windows for when we might be able to come together and meet on that property.
Gotcha.
And Alan, I have the telephone number for you to reach the community development director who's been involved with this. Would you like that phone number?
I think I have his card, but I could get that from you tomorrow.
I'm going to be on the road.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to give it to me right now.
Sure. 303-725-7496. And his name is Zach.
What's his name?
Zach Higgins.
Okay.
Okay.
Where's that line here? What's that?
Okay.
This is actually these.
Is there any other comments or questions on our swale problem?
Okay. Yeah, it's just them. I'm sorry.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, I don't have anything more to report on this until we get more information.
Okay.
Right.
She's running out of battery.
Oh,
Yeah.
I just want to be safe. Plugged her in. I just want us to be safe.
Did you know you got plugged in, Susan?
Oh, good.
Plugged us in. We're safe.
Yes, you're so okay. Okay.
Okay, so then we're moving on to item 8, the audit summary. Approval needed for corrections?
Yes.
Do we have that in here?
So I did not give you the full, it's only in a draft format, but there is a report in your packet that's a spreadsheet, and I will be referring to that once we get to that point. So
we're there.
You're there.
We did the swale.
Right. So, yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about the audit.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
I think
this one.
Oh, no. No, can't.
Still
it's this one. It's this one.
There. Yeah. Got it.
Okay. All right. So I've got a lot of information for you, and I apologize. It's gonna take some time to go and do it. I apologize in advance.
Nope.
The auditor.
I'm still looking.
It's just, it's the second page.
Right there. Ah. Right there.
There we go.
Okay. So the auditor is almost done with her report, and she will be coming to the board meeting.
So she's talking.
She's talking.
But we can't hear her.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Try again, Susan.
Okay. So the auditor
is... Can we hit a mute button somewhere? She's talking away, and we aren't hearing her.
You're not hearing me at all. Can you hear me now?
I'm not hearing her either.
Okay. No one's hearing me?
No.
You just don't touch the computer.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Now okay. You can start over again.
Okay.
There's loose connection.
All right.
Out loud. You want me to report out loud?
Okay. So I've got a lot of information to give you tonight, and I apologize. This is going to take some time for us to get through, but I wanted to go over all of the different citations that the auditor has made to us. So there's three different levels of audit outcomes. There's material weaknesses, and that's the worst kind. The middle kind, that's not quite as bad, are significant deficiencies. And the lowest, which is like not as bad, is the management comments. And I have not given you any of this information because it's still in draft form. So I'm going to give it to you verbally. So you're going to have to listen.
You went away again.
You left you again.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Maybe the internet.
Can you hear me now?
She froze.
Do you want me to call in, Sarah? I can call Sarah.
She's talking.
We can hear her.
Do you want me to call Sarah?
We can't hear, but we can hear her. That's all that counts.
Do you want to put me on speakerphone?
You're there.
We're
hearing you.
You can hear me again? Okay.
Yes.
Would it be, I don't know if it'll be more stable if I'm on the phone.
Oh, what'd you do?
I'm trying to call Sarah at the moment.
Okay, Susan, we've got you on speaker.
Okay. Alrighty, can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
A little
right.
Echo.
Yeah. So I've got a lot of information. The auditor, we have an overall clean response from the audit, but there are several of the material weaknesses that we are addressing. And so so the first one is the handout that you have in your packet. We made several overpayments to employees. So what happened was, the whole thing, the reason that all of this happened is we changed from doing our payroll manually and using QuickBooks using Paylocity. And in the switchover, we changed from paying our employees monthly, which you'll see at the top of the worksheet, and then we had a short pay period from
March 16th through March 25th of last year. And then we started to pay everybody every 2 weeks. And there was a miscalculation for the employees, for the salaried employees in that short payroll. And so it ended up that, like, if you look at Susan Austin, the first person on the list, she was overpaid $9.24 per pay period. And you can see that overage per pay period. It's right above the line that's bolded. And then if you look below, you can see we overpaid almost everyone except for, well, actually, we did also overpay Jennifer Yanoff, but we had to go through some more calculations. And at the end, the last employee in the list was overpaid. She didn't stay till the end of the year, and so she was overpaid $114.40 for the time that she was here. So my first question for you is, the total amount for this is over $1,300. This error cost is between $1,300 and $1,400. So the first question for you is, do we want to go back and request that our advance letter to our employees to get the money back from them that we overpaid them? And I am definitely going to pay the amount that I was overpaid. I'm going to definitely pay that back myself. But for the other employees, do you want to demand that they write a demand letter to them? Some of these people are not here anymore. Lori Van Court has retired. Jennifer Yadov has gone on to another job. And Jamie Eno has also retired. So the decision for you is, you know, how do you want to deal with this?
Okay, Susan, I have a question. How does the auditor suggest we resolve this?
So especially since these folks are no longer here, the auditor suggested that we work with employers' counsel, and so that's the folks that advise us on HR matters. So I've spoken with them, and they gave me a handout on how to deal with overpayments. It goes through the whole process of how we would request this, but these folks are three out of one, two, three. So, two thirds of them are no longer here. So it's basically.
Okay. My thoughts on this is technically it appears it's a inadvertent mistake. And my thought is, in the interest of good employee relations, the board should just buck up here. We should pay it and chalk it up to experience. It involves trying to work with this new payroll system, and the angst and everything that it would cause trying to collect money back from people, especially from people that are no longer here. It's not worth the. Our goodwill is better. We need to step up to the plate, so to speak.
I agree. Yeah, I agree too. I don't think it's.
I agree 100%. It is. It would be. It may be a correct thing to do, but it doesn't make it an honorable thing to do.
Right.
Do we need to make a motion?
So.
Well, I'd like to hear from Susan. Are you in agreement with that?
Yeah. I think that would be. We definitely. If you don't want to try to get the money back from everyone, you do need to. officially approved the FAT amount, you know, the FAT amount was, you know, given to the...
I think it was the cost of moving from QuickBooks to Paylocity.
Yeah.
We'll just...
I would make a motion then that we pay this amount in the interest, in the best interest of goodwill to former and past employees in the amount up to, I think, the $1,400. That should more than cover this problem.
So does are we saying that correctly?
I was going to say, I don't feel comfortable. I mean, we might want to get some language.
Do you ladies have a comment on how to make the motion better then?
Let me look real quick and see if I've got anything I can, any guidance I can give you here.
It's an inadvertent error.
So if we...
Yeah, I think we were just looking for, maybe you could say something about how the employees were overpaid and that you accept maybe the way, you know, the amounts that they were paid, even though it was inadvertent or something like that.
So I think we're going to say a motion to accept the overpayment of employees as a cost of facilitating the move from QuickBooks to Paylocity.
I think that's perfect.
It should apply to everybody.
And it should apply to everyone that was overpaid.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Is that good?
I'll second it then.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you. So then the second question related to this, if you look in the spreadsheet that you're in, there were some employees, two employees that were given unpaid time off. And talking after this happened, talking with Employers Council, they really recommend that we do not give unpaid time off for various reasons. And let me find my notes here so that I can share that with you. One is an equity problem. So, and this is unpaid time off with regard to salaried employees. And what happened was we had employees who exceeded their allowable time off and there wasn't any leave left. And so they asked for unpaid time off. But with a equity concern, you may have like a protected class employee who can't afford to take time off. And so you don't want to offer unpaid time off. And also, according to law, the Fair Labor Standards Act, you can't dock and exempt employees' pay regardless of whether or not they work. So they should always, an exempt employee, a salaried employee should always get the same salary regardless. There are certain circumstances that you can make deductions, but they said be really, really careful of that. And it can create messes, and it actually really did create a mess for us in Paylocity because Paylocity shows that the unpaid time off was paid, and then they later come back and deduct it out. So it was a real nightmare for us. So the auditor was suggesting that maybe we did want to retroactively pay the employees who were paid for that or who had unpaid time off. But the the policy in effect at the time was that in order, so there were two different situations. One employee had been here less than a year but was not eligible to take vacation until they'd been here a year. That was our old policy that we used to have. And the other employee took a long trip and came back and then was sick. And so then had run out of leave at this point, so needed to take time off after returning from a trip. So both of those, I approved the unpaid time off for those employees because there was no other way for them to take the leave. I later found out in discussions with employers' counsel those reasons that I said earlier, that it's not a great idea to give unpaid time off. So I guess my question to you is, I will never be giving unpaid time off in the future, unless it follows the certain circumstances that are outlined with employers' counsel. So that's my own fix here. But do you want to go back and retroactively pay the two employees?
Is there a dollar amount?
If you see in the line where it says remaining annual salary and then less unpaid time off, you can see there's two numbers in that column for two different employers.
Yes. It's up here. It's up here at the top.
Okay. Remaining annual salary.
There's $474.92 on one and $843.48 on the other one.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, and I'm comfortable either way you decide. But I just, you know, the auditor wanted me to after talking with her about this, she wanted me to.
The money has already been paid. And it's actually
it hasn't been paid. It has not been paid.
They're salaried and they needed more time off, and so they weren't paid while they were off. Is that how it worked?
Basically, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, but the auditor suggests that we make them whole.
Well, the auditor said that might be an option that you might want to consider.
My question is, are these two employees still working for the libraries?
One is and one is not. The first one is and the second one is not.
Well,
it seems to me if you exhaust all your time off and then you need more
time
off.
No, but it's salaried.
Yeah, I know. But
salaried people, if they work 40 hours, they get that money. If they work 60 hours, they get the same money. Yeah. If they work 35 hours, they still get the same money.
And so,
if they work zero hours, they still get the same money.
That's exactly how I was paid, too.
Well, bottom line is the way that you get around it is you do comp time versus taking money away.
I don't think we have that covered in our book.
All right, that's okay. That's okay. It works. Okay.
So we're basically, are you saying that we should probably pay this amount, and this one employee that's no longer here, we'll send them a check for that amount? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, that's one of the options that you could do. I mean, I made this decision before I had spoken with employers' counsel, you know, to get their guidance on this topic.
Right.
And so, you know, I thought I was doing the right thing at the time, but, you know, I didn't find out until a couple months later that it was not the best.
Okay. And
I don't understand. Is that additional amount over and above their normal salary? Is that what they'd be getting, even more than their regular salary? Or is that just encompassing their regular salary?
Well, what we could do is we could take the unpaid time off and subtract out the amount that they were overpaid and then give them the difference in that amount.
Wait.
But
they
if you
weren't overpaid.
No, well, Susan was. Susan Augustine was. Yeah. But Jennifer was not paid.
She was, but you have to go, well,
You look, you're showing a negative 65.61.
But I don't think we should get it confused with that other number.
243.16 after you calculate in her payouts for her when she left. So she was overpaid by $243.16, the bold down below.
Oh, here. I see where you're saying. Okay, I'm sorry, Susan. I was looking at it wrong.
Now, but these people were thankful that they got the additional time off, right?
Right, absolutely.
So they derived a benefit.
Right. Has anyone complained about it? That's the big deal. Are they going to go file with anybody that you all didn't pay? You took some of their salary?
No. I mean, as far as I know, no. But.
Okay, I've
got a salary job, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, I get this horrendous illness, and I have to take 2 weeks off, and all my poor other people I work with have to fill in for me. And, you know, I don't get paid because I had to take all this extra time off and I've already taken my vacation time. No one should be, I shouldn't get paid more on top of it because I got the benefit of the time off that I
agree needed. With you 100%.
I mean, most professional people see things that way.
Okay. So is that what everybody's thinking? Are you guys all okay with that?
I just want to make sure, because I understand what you're saying. I think it was done absolutely fairly.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And Susan did what she thought was right at the time.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely agree. But to the letter of the law, are we going to get backed into a corner?
As long as they don't file anything with the labor boards or whatever.
Well, they still got their full salary. They just had to take additional time off.
No, see, they docked. They did not.
Oh, they got docked?
Yes, they took time off without pay, and they were a salaried employee.
So that was so they figured out their hourly, they took it off?
Somehow they're not an hourly employee.
No, but how did they figure out how much it got
I'm sure. Susan, how did you calculate the amount that they...
We should shut that door.
That they got docked.
Oh, yeah, that was a smart idea. And my voice carries like a
out there.
A uniform.
So,
how was that calculated, how much they were docked?
So it's based on the number of hours that they were not present at work.
So Susan, did you take their salary and calculate what they were paid for the 30 days of the month? Or I mean, we're trying to say, how exactly did you calculate it?
Yeah, and so it was basically, I think actually Paylocity calculated it based on how long they were gone. So it was probably I don't know how many days.
So they didn't get their whole full salary.
Right.
Well, then give them their full salary, I guess.
Well, then that means that we pay these two amounts out.
In addition, give them back
money. And here's my other question. Is income taxes and FICA and all that other stuff, we have to calculate that. So
So it'll just have to be 2024 income.
Okay.
Yeah. You can do that too. I don't have a problem.
Okay.
Whatever everybody thinks is right.
I think that's the simplest way to, because we're making this way too complicated, and we can end up ticking somebody off in the long term. And granted, it's X amount of money. It looks like it is about $1,200, $1,400 or so. Less than $1,500.
I think we should just make them whole.
Yes, I don't think it's worth the pain of trying to in the interest of goodwill and being a good employer. I think we need to step up. I don't know how else to say it.
Make the motion.
And it's a wonderful educational learning thing, and we will never do it again.
I would make
especially since you say sometimes they work 60 hours instead of 40, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's
so what we're doing here is we're making them whole for the unpaid sick time that they took, is that correct?
The unpaid time off.
Leave of absence.
So we're making them whole for the unpaid leave of absence.
So are we making a motion?
I would make a motion to that effect.
Okay, so we're making a motion to make whole Susan Austin and Jennifer Yadav for the amounts that are associated with this audit.
Okay.
Is that enough? Do we need more?
Yes, I think you did good.
Okay.
I would second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
My kind group.
Because the thing is, if somebody does realize that they could come after us,
they
could cost us more money in the end.
Yes,
you're absolutely. And irritation than if we just make them whole.
Right.
I agree with you. I was like, well,
next item.
Okay, so the next item is that I accidentally overpaid myself. In the January, so we had a payroll that was for hours that were worked in December, but it was paid in January. And so I had already put everybody's raises in Paylocity effective on January 1st. But then we realized at that point that we needed to do a payroll after that, but we didn't, that shouldn't have been paid at the new rates. It needed to be paid at the 2023 rates. And so I had to do a manual change in Paylocity to edit everybody down to the 2023 rates, which I did, but still somehow my salary got messed up and I overpaid myself by $346.15. I've paid us back and we are all good, but just wanted to let you know about that.
So that's not on this piece of paper.
That is not on, nothing. That was.
That's been fixed.
We're done with the piece of paper now.
Okay. We're good.
Excellent. We're good.
Okay. Yeah. And then we had an employee who had a personal IRA. And using QuickBooks, Mary Ellen would just do that deposit for that IRA. But I never got the settings to be able to upload them into Paylocity. I asked the employee, she didn't know what company it was through, didn't know how to do that. So we were taking $100 per paycheck. So it ended up being $2,300 out of her paycheck and we were not depositing that for her. So what we're gonna do is give her a check for $2,300 and walk her through depositing that with the company to go into her Roth IRA. I've got it set up properly now in Paylocity. I have all the information I need, and so it's taking it out properly, and I'm going to close the loop by checking with her to make sure that it is indeed going into her IRA account. So that one is just kind of a...
Okay, so she's cashed the check and she's deposited in her IRA?
She will. We're going to write the check this week, and I'll take it and talk her through the whole process of how to get that. It'll go into her IRA for last year, for 2023, because you can still do that up to tax day. So she should be okay with that. So I'll just have to walk her through it.
Do we need to make a motion to that effect?
No, I'm just letting you know about that one.
It's her normal salary.
So she's got, it was $100 a week,
$100
a month.
Oh, per check.
Pay period. Twice a month.
So it's $200 a month.
Right.
So that's 24, that's why it's the $2,300.
Yeah, so we got done for the first month. But then after that,
she's not complaining about not interest. Getting interest.
No, that's right.
She does not. Yeah, she does not actually know that this has not happened, and we looked at the interest piece, and there was not. I can't remember what the.
We need an investment counselor to come here to the library.
So I can. Yeah, but I can. I mean, I can Mary Ellen can walk you through it, but we decided that the interest thing was okay because you can deposit your money for the previous year up to tax time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But she still has lost whatever.
But she's lost a year's worth of interest.
Well, she could have lost the money, yeah, too.
Yeah, it depends how they invest it.
That's how the investment works.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
I can bring in Mary Ellen to talk about that. So hang on a second. Let me. She's my phone a friend. So hold on. I'm going to call Mary Ellen.
Okay.
So I mean, what's the?
But see, my hearing's starting to hurt. Gone great.
I'm going to go home and drink.
I mean, listen. I was ready to do one before I came. I thought, no, I'll have my martini when I get home. It will be okay.
Well, this is something that we have never ever had before, and it's and as near as I could tell, it's all because we've changed over on this PAYMO deal to, and we've shifted a system from where we were paying once a month to twice a month, and so.
Well, are you paying twice a month? Or are you paying bi-weekly?
Bi-weekly.
Okay.
So and so, there is
a difference.
QuickBooks was a manual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where Paylocity is, it's all programmed.
Okay.
So it should be.
Once you get it all.
Once, yes.
Then it should be just fine.
Right, yeah. It'll, once we get everything set up properly. So I can't reach Mary Ellen about this.
Okay.
But we, the auditor and Mary Ellen and I discussed the interest, and it was not, it didn't come out to be. I think the interest we calculated was going to be really minuscule or something. So after you know.
Okay. If she's happy, if she cashes the check, that means she's happy.
Does she know about this yet?
No. They haven't told her yet. We'll see how this goes.
Okay. I'll carry my phone, Susan.
The next issue is that our PARA funds, we missed depositing our funds with PARA, which is our pension
that's
plan.
Right.
It's a 403B. No, I think that's wrong. Don't listen to me. But it's pension money with the state of Colorado. We missed depositing two pay periods, that stinky short pay period, from 316 to 325.
Okay.
And then there was a special pay period where we paid out one employee on 821. I think it was an employee who I was paying out her sick and vacation time. So we are putting some extra checks in place to make sure that we're not missing those PARA payments. For example, whenever I run payroll, I ran payroll last night, and so I emailed Mary Ellen immediately afterwards and sent her the spreadsheet from that payroll so that she knows that I did that. So that was another item.
Have we been able to make up those PARA deposits?
We're working with PARA. We've notified them, and we're working with them to, you know, we've asked them to waive the penalties, if any, because of just this transition of getting things switched over from QuickBooks to Paylocity.
Right.
So.
Okay.
And then the next one is putting our payroll journal entries into QuickBooks. The auditor, we were doing it on a monthly basis, and the auditor recommends that we do that biweekly.
Wait, I thought we didn't use QuickBooks anymore.
No, we still use QuickBooks for our financial
for the
portion,
budget,
but not for
losses.
The payroll.
Okay.
Just not payroll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we still need to put the financial part into QuickBooks.
Okay.
And so... but like the report that I gave you today, the profit and loss statement,
right,
that comes out of QuickBooks. That's
okay.
That.
Ah,
so we have to make sure everything in Paylocity gets recorded back in QuickBooks for that. The next item is reconciling those journal entries that we put into QuickBooks. And again, she's recommending that we reconcile those immediately so we catch any errors on that. And then there are journal entries that Paylocity generates, and so we're going to work with Paylocity to make sure that we're getting the correct journal entries that we would use to enter into QuickBooks. Okay, also about Paylocity, we are enabling that the employees approve their own timesheets. So it has always been an option in Paylocity, but we just have not used it. And it just means that each employee has to approve their time for the day and say, yes, this is the time they worked. And then they just mark a box or mark that it's approved for that day. So even myself as a salaried exempt employee, I have to log in and like the payroll that I just processed, I had to approve that I had a holiday on the 19th for President's Day in order to pay that. So we've just added that function. Or it's always been there. We've just added the procedure that our employees have to approve that. And then we're also changing Paylocity so that if a supervisor or a manager makes any changes to a timesheet, the employee is going to get notified through Paylocity that the supervisor has made those changes. I'm trying to think of an example. Sometimes employees have difficulty logging out or something like that at the end of the day. And so when the supervisor makes that change and puts in there, yes, you logged out at 5 o'clock last night, it will then email or text the employee to let them know that that change was made. And I think that is all. So that's just kind of like a high level overview of all of those things that we found. That the auditor found, and she's going to be coming to our board meeting. It will be in April, and she'll be here. She plans to come in person so that she can answer any questions that you have about the audit at that time. So that's all I have about the audit. Thank you for your patience, and Mary Ellen and I both have had a whole lot of heartache about this, feeling really bad about the errors that we've made. And the auditor was so kind that she just said, you know, think about this. You will never do this again. I mean, you will never switch over from manual and QuickBooks to Paylocity again. So, you know, once we have it set up right, we are good to go. So,
yes, major learning. We're going to call it your education.
I really could have done without that. But yeah.
I'm sure you could. Okay. Number 9, any public comment? We don't have any public. Okay. Any other items or business from the board from any board members or...
No, I'd just like to thank everybody for their patience as I go through this rehabilitation on my leg.
Well, we are so glad you're getting fixed, Robert.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
don't want you broken.
We want a whole Robert.
Yes.
We expect that marathon run here next week.
Hey, if I thought I could do that, I would. All right.
Okay. So, anybody want a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.